This is Heather Johnson, and you're listening to the Ayurveda Life School podcast, episode number 135, The Connection Between the Colon and Healthy Bones. This podcast is for people who want to take their health physically, emotionally, and spiritually to a whole new level using Ayurvedic medicine, the ancient healing tradition from India. This is the Ayurveda Life School podcast, and I'm your host, Heather Johnson. Hello, my friends. Welcome to the podcast today. It is so nice to be with you and enjoy this beautiful day and a time for learning. It's been really interesting watching my kids as they go through school, and they tell me that so much of what they're learning is not useful. So it's nice when you're an adult and you can study what you want. And as you're studying Ayurveda, there's so many different ways that you can go with it. And I've really become fascinated more and more with digestion and how our bodies function on that level, because that is truly where we start. That is where our body's health is begun and end. And if we are not focusing on how our body's digesting, then everything else goes haywire. And I have found that to be really interesting with clients. It doesn't seem to matter what they are coming to me with. We always have to focus and address digestion. So as we get into digestion today, I was thinking about the colon and the connection between the colon and the health of our bones. So my son is a junior in high school, and he played on the football team this year. And he has not played football since he was little, but we moved, as I'd mentioned before, to Jackson, Wyoming. And in a smaller town like this, there's more opportunity. So he played on the football team, and he loved it and also got the opportunity to have his shoulder dislocate twice, and he broke two bones in his left hand. So as he was trying to heal these bones, I was thinking about what we could do from an Ayurvedic standpoint to help his bones to heal better. And the first thing that I keyed in on is his elimination, making sure that he was going to the bathroom regularly, that he was eliminating completely, and that he wasn't constipated. You might wonder, well, what is the connection between the two? Why does it matter if he's going to the bathroom regularly? Why does that matter as far as the health of the bones? Because isn't that completely unrelated? We know Ayurvedically everything is connected, right? All of it is kind of united together, and everything affects everything else. So when we look at actually digestion and what's going on with digestion, let's do a quick overview. This will help you to see how that connection to the bones is so vital and apparent. First off, we have three stages of digestion, right? We have the kapha stage, that's our sweet stage. We have pitta, which is more of the sour, and vata, which is our pungent stage. So the kapha stage begins in the mouth when we chew food and into the upper stomach. The pitta stage starts in the lower part of the stomach and moving into the small intestine. And then the vata stage is occurring in the large intestine or colon. So you can use those interchangeably. When we break it down even further, in the mouth is a subdosha of kapha called bodhaka kapha. And bodhaka is truly the salivary amylase. It's that beginning of carbohydrate breakdown. So when we're eating carbohydrates and we're chewing, we're releasing salivary amylase, we're breaking those down. This digestion continues in the stomach with kledaka kapha. So that's kind of in the upper part of the stomach. And that actually releases a lot of the mucus that protects the stomach lining from the acids that are also being released. So those are coming through pitchaka pitta. And pitta is really more of that lower half of the stomach and the small intestine area. And when we're seeing what's being released there, we call that pitta. From a Western standpoint, we're calling these digestive enzymes, hydrochloric acid. We're talking about things like pepsinogen that is converted into pepsin by hydrochloric acid. And then that pepsin is able to break down proteins into amino acids. But from a higher level of Ayurveda, we just call all of those enzymes a form of pitta. Then digestion moves into the small intestine, and bile is released from the gallbladder. This bile helps to emulsify or kind of create more surface area on the fat molecules so that they can be digested. And then digestive enzymes are coming in from the pancreas. They're released into the small intestine. So we have a lot of enzymes that come in even from the actual cells within the small intestine, which is interesting. So the lipase comes from the pancreas, and it starts to break down the fats that the gallbladder bile emulsified, and these fats become fatty acids that can then be diffused into the small intestine, and eventually they make it into the bloodstream. They go to the liver. It's a whole thing, right? The dosha that is assisting with that absorption is a form of vata, and it's called Samana Vayu. So even though we know that the home of Pitta is that small intestine area, lower stomach, we also see Vata playing a role in here because Vata is all about movement. We have to create movement to create absorption of nutrients. And the majority of absorption occurs in the small intestine. We really don't see much of it in the stomach. That's more the place where we kind of churn and begin to break down the food into smaller particles, especially protein. But once we get into the small intestine, then we're actually absorbing them. So finally, the food is moving into the large intestine, and that is where the remaining water and vitamins are absorbed. So we're going to focus in that area because that is where our connection to the bone comes in. The colon, or the large intestine, is the home of Vata. It's kind of the seat of Vata, and specifically Apana Vayu. So that's a subdosha of Vata, and that is in charge of all the downward and outward movement in the body. 90% of our microbiome is in the colon. So it's really important that things are moving and flowing well in there because that manages the health of your entire GI tract, right? So until recently, most Western medicine was just looking at the health of our bones in connection to having enough calcium, having enough vitamin D absorbed, and your hormone levels so that you could build the bone through osteoblasts and break down the bone through osteoclasts. So those are just kinds of cells. And I remember this one because osteoblast, the B in there, is a builder. So osteoblasts build the bone and osteoclasts are breaking down the bone. So we begin to understand, though, that there's a lot more things involved when we look at it from an Ayurvedic standpoint. And we see that there is a membrane in the colon. We call it the Purisha Dharakala, and it is directly connected to the membrane on the bone, which we call the Asti Dharakala. Purisha is short for Purisha Vaha, which is the word for the channel that the digestive tract moves through, right? The small and large intestine. And then the Asti Dhatu is bone tissue. So we see that there's a membrane in the colon and there's a membrane on the bone that are intimately connected. They actually form in the same way. They're connected through the tissue. It's really interesting. So that's why using something like Basti or an enema is really useful if you're having issues with your bones because it's actually going to directly affect the membranes of the colon, which will directly affect the membranes of the bone and the health of the bone. So it's a really simple way to help the bone health. And no, I did not recommend to my son that he does an enema. I think he would have run away shrieking and said, "What on earth? You're crazy, mama." But we did do some other things to help his bones be stronger. So when we're supporting the colon, we're supporting the bones. So we're kind of going to break this down here Ayurvedically. So we know that there's a lot of micronutrients in the bones that are necessary in order for health, right? Things like calcium, phosphorus, fluoride, magnesium, sodium, vitamin D, vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin B6, folate, and vitamin B12. So there's a lot of nutrients and micronutrients that are vital to health there. Well, the colon is also largely responsible for water absorption, and it absorbs vitamins that the gut flora is producing. So things like vitamin K, vitamin B12, thiamine, riboflavin. So the ability for the colon to absorb those nutrients is very important to the health of that membrane and the bone membrane. Now, vitamin K that comes from leafy green vegetables is normally what we hear about, and it's also useful for blood clotting. But there's another kind of vitamin K called vitamin K2 that is produced by your gut flora, and that travels to your bone tissue, and it activates osteoblasts. So if you have healthy gut flora that can produce that vitamin K2 and the colon is healthy and it can absorb the vitamins that are being produced there, then it will actually help to improve the osteoblasts. Remember B for builder. So the osteoblasts, so it's going to build more bone tissue. So if you're having issues with like osteopenia or osteoporosis or your bones are brittle, then having more of that vitamin K2 produced by your gut is going to help you. And how do we do that? We create a healthy environment for our colon, right? So we always got to focus on that digestion. And if we're constipated or holding on to fecal matter or it's moving too quickly through the body, if you have a really fast transit time like diarrhea is happening, you're not going to be able to make the proper amounts of those micronutrients. Now, most calcium and magnesium is absorbed in the small intestine. And when absorption in the small intestine is not working properly, right, if you have a GI disorder of some kind, then the large intestine will increase its absorption of these. So it's kind of this check and balance. The body's really smart. I think it's just so brilliant that it can see that we're not absorbing enough in the small intestine. We need to get more in the large intestine. So when we look at this pattern and how this flow has occurred, we can see that the healthy colon is really important for your bones because we've got to have those micronutrients that are absorbed in through the colon that allow the bone tissue to form those osteoblasts to build up the bones. If you have an inflammatory bowel disease, something like Crohn's or ulcerative colitis, there is a correlation between having something like osteoporosis and a poor gut microbiome. So we're always wanting to work to build up the gut microbiome. And I'll do a whole separate episode just about that because I think it's important we see how we can do that Ayurvedically. But from an Ayurvedic standpoint, it's really actually pretty simple. We need the proper nutrients because if the proper nutrients are not making their way to the bone tissue, then that Ostidara kala, right, that membrane around the bone, can't do its job. And often that can happen because it's dried out. Okay, so we have the membrane of the colon, the Parishadara kala, that is dried out, or we have poor gut flora. So hydration is really important. Making sure that we're increasing that gut flora through the foods that we're eating healthy nutrients, and that we're removing toxins that can clog the channels. Remember what we call those? Ama. Gotta love the ama. So we're seeing that there is this direct connection between how healthy our bones are and how healthy our colon is. So if you're feeling constipation or you're having excess bowel movements, you know, through diarrhea, that's something we want to kind of stabilize. So look for some of the other episodes I've done on those because I think that will really help you. But ways that you can look and see how your bone tissue actually is developed and how healthy it is are really simple. So I'm going to give you a couple ideas and things that you can watch for about this. Because when your bone tissue is being developed, there are kind of some side effects, or we call them byproducts, and they're really good clues because obviously you can't see like your femur bone and you can't see your arm bones, but we can see outward signs. So we can look at things like our teeth, we can look at the health of our nails and the health of our hair. And so if you're seeing these kinds of symptoms, things like joint pain, or if you have osteoporosis or arthritis, those are all signs that there's not a strong health in the osteodatu. If you're experiencing hair loss, right, if it's falling out, if you have brittle hair, if you get a lot of split ends really easily, if your teeth are cracking, if you can see lines in them, if you get a lot of cavities despite brushing your teeth and flossing often and doing all the things your dentist tells you to do, if you're having dry or brittle nails, if you get scoliosis, so if your spine is misaligned, then you know that there's some health issues with the bones, and if you're getting fractures in the bones easily. Okay, so a few things that you can do to start working on this. First, we talked about the Bostis or the enemas. So I've done whole episodes about Bostis and how those work. So I'll put the link to that in the show notes here. But it's important that you keep that as maybe an option. If it's something that you're not comfortable with yet or you've never done an enema, I'll give you some good instructions in our podcast so you'll be able to understand how to do it. First time is a little weird, I'll be honest. But when you realize the benefits that you're getting from it, it makes you more committed to doing it on a regular basis, especially if it is wintertime or if you have high vata in your constitution or you're imbalanced in vata. The other thing you want to look at is pacifying vata. We do that by bringing in the sweet, sour, and salty tastes. It's just as simple as that. So look at your diet, make sure you're eating plenty of sweet, sour, and salty. Anytime that you're online, you can research how to pacify vata, how to decrease vata, and you'll get some good suggestions there. Following the general healthy eating guidelines, the guidelines for healthy eating, these are so basic. Right? We've done some episodes about just basic good eating habits like following a routine, sitting down to eat, not snacking between meals, having food that is warm and cooked, slowing down when you're eating, not eating distracted. Those are all going to help with nutrient absorption. One of the easiest ones that you could implement right away is that every time you take a bite of food, chew it 32 times, once for each tooth. Trust me, it's a lot of chewing. When you start to do this, you realize that four or five chews that you've normally been doing was not breaking down your food. So if you can start the digestive process in your mouth, that's going to be so much better. And you don't even have to change what you're eating to do that, right? You can eat whatever you were going to eat, but just chew really, really well. Following a lot of routine and structure in your sleep patterns, your movement patterns, your day and your schedule is really important. And bring in things that are warming and moist. Those are all super simple ways that you can start improving your bone health by improving your colon by decreasing vata. So I hope that this was helpful to you. If you're having struggles or issues in those areas and there's something that you would like me to address further, please don't hesitate to comment, reach out. You can always reach me through my website, ayurvedalifeschool.com. Have a beautiful week and we will talk to you soon. Namaste. Before you go, was this episode helpful for you? Well, the most helpful thing you can do in return is to leave a review in iTunes. The reviews are what keep the podcast going. And be sure to subscribe and share this episode if you loved it. You can connect with me online at ayurvedalifeschool.com, on Instagram, and on Facebook at Ayurveda Life School. Have a beautiful day. Namaste.